Hanson. Care for a rub down?
And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Something special is about to happen.
Are you waiting to receive my limp penis?
Very aroused.
It was better than later.
Yeah.
Yeah, g'day rubbers. Welcome back to the weekly rubdown. It is time to get our waiver wire dribble on for round 20. First up, Wooker, what's going on, Chief?
Oh, I've just been trying to ease my way into the finals.
Are your legs shaking? Got the speed wobbles, buddy? This is when you normally start to come off the rails.
In the other league, yes, that is actually happening. I've got Ponga. And he went down.
Oh no.
I've got Cotter as well, and he obviously hasn't been playing, but I mean he's named in reserve, so that's a good thing. But yeah, I did get the wobbles probably about 2-3 weeks ago. I was top of the comp, and then I've just started to drift back into third and looking like I'll drop this week, so I'll drop back into fourth spot. So yeah, it's coasting is probably the best way to put it.
Depending on this weekend's results, it could be round one of the finals in the Loveless, me and you.
Mm-hmm. And huge. That would be huge.
Huge, yeah. Huge.
And I think that if we both get top four, we get a...
Yeah, second bite of the cherry.
We get a second bite of the cherry, so... Yep. Yeah, there's a lot to play for because you get the week off.
There is. That's going to be a big one. But it all depends, I think. Well, yeah, no, it's because I play Reece, he's coming second, so I could drop down to second. And I think there's a result in another game that might... Well, if you win and Simo loses, then you guys will swap as well, so...
Yeah, I mean, I can't see Simo losing to... I think it's to Cleary... So,
no.
I think his team's proper stacked after that fucking schmozzle of a trade situation.
That's what happens, mate, when there's no commissioner. It's just a lawless society.
Absolutely. What are we without rules, mate?
We're that's animals. It. That's it. Exactly. All right. I'm going to tear the scab off one, wet my lips. And let's get into it. I'll cover... Some injuries first up.
I'm still alive, but I'm very badly injured.
So we've got Cody Ramsey out for the Dragons. He looks like he's going to be out for 2 weeks, which is good because they originally thought it was going to be an ACL, so not as bad as first thought there.
Yeah.
Ponga is gone for the season with concussion. That's his fifth concussion.
Has that been confirmed?
But yeah, that's what I've read today. He's out.
Okay.
Done and dusted. Won't be playing again this season. Lachlan Fitzgibbon is also out, re-aggravating that shoulder injury of his. Stephen Crichton is out with that lacerated ear. That should be only one week, though.
Lacerated is a very soft way to put it. That thing was almost torn off.
All right, Mark Chopper Reed, Jesus.
Oh, God.
Crazy. Raymond Fitala-Marina, he's got some rib issues there. Could be 1 week at least, but could be longer, obviously.
It's rib cartilage, so it's probably just going to be a pain management issue.
Yeah, pain tolerance sort of thing. Jerome Luai, the MCL is what I'm reading, which could be 4 to 6 weeks. So it's going to be one to monitor there.
He might be done for the Supercoach season.
Yeah, exactly, huge ramifications for Supercoach, massive for draft. Obviously, we're going to be talking about that when we go through some claims. But then we've got Mark Nichols. He's going to be out. Couldn't find what the injury was there, but he's not playing this week. And then I've just got word that Dal Finucane has been suspended for 3 games after tearing Stephen Crichton's ear off.
Yeah, look, to be honest... I think he did it with his head, didn't he?
I don't know what the fuck he did. He came at 1,000 miles an hour just to clash bodies and cause some pain. And yeah, he did.
He definitely caused some pain.
He did.
I don't think.
And that
it was a fucking rough one.
And that is a rough head. Like he's got a head like a fucking bag of wrenches.
Oh, God,
you don't want that coming at you at full pelt. So
if you get
he's
hit,
lucky.
Stay hit.
Stephen Crichton's lucky that he just got a little cut.
That's
on his
all he
ear.
Got.
Yeah. Could have had his fucking skull caved in.
Looking through the team list, just a few of the big talking points. Obviously, Manly being most of their team being homophobes.
Unbelievable.
So they I think they've got seven players that are stood down for the week. So we were just talking about it off the just before the podcast. Like, this is the time that they want to be doing the mad dig for the finals.
There's so many things wrong with this. It's 2022. Like, let's, you know, like, it's celebrating pride. This is what you should be doing. And then the other thing is, like, yeah, you get paid to play football and you're playing the Roosters, who you're on the same competition points. You're both vying for a top eight spot. I mean, if I was running the Eagles, I would be fucking filthy at this. But anyway, let's move on.
There are going to be some players' contracts that may be in jeopardy because of this.
Yeah, yeah, I reckon.
And the next one, so Aaron Clarke's looks like he's locked down that lock spot, which is good because I think that's his better position than dummy up. And then, think he really offered too much out of that spot. Cotter's been named in the reserves, so that's pretty big for owners that have held him, as well as people who can see him on the waivers. So definitely one to look at. And Jack Bird, he's been pushed back into the centres due to the that Ramsey injury you mentioned before. So there's been a bit of shifting. So obviously with the injury to Sully, what's his face? Moses Mbai.
He's moved
into fullback to cover Ramsey. So yeah, there's been a bit of changing of the guard around there.
For sure, mate. Yeah, no, a few big ones there. The Eagles, though, yeah, seven players missing.
That's massive.
I hope they get pumped. I really do, because yeah, it's you get paid to play football. It's simple as that. If you ignore everything else that's around it, you are contracted and paid to play rugby league, and you are just sitting out. This, you know, like, it's just like, nah, I'm not going to work today. Why?
If they were being asked to take a dick in their mouth, I could understand the situation.
Oh, but fucking hell.
They are literally just being asked to put on a jersey that has rainbows on it. Like, pull your head in.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, it's fucked. It's fucked. All right, let's get into rubbing some of these claims, bro.
This fucks up my plan. This is fucking bullshit.
I got to do something here. I still can't believe it.
Help me help you.
I'm not sure what to do with my hand.
The rest of you made the team. Except you, and you.
So as we've been doing the last couple of rounds, we're going to go through each game. We'll talk about the ins, the outs, and we'll conversate over some waiver claims, free agents, plug and plays, that sort of thing. And then at the end of it, in the happy ending, we'll package it all up, put a pretty little bow on it, and give you our top claims for round 20. So first game up is the Eagles Roosters game. So look, for me, I'm not really looking at anyone coming in for the Eagles because I honestly think they get fucking pumped here.
Yeah, I think that it'd be a 1 week play anyway for a lot of the guys that are coming in. Like Seguiaro has been brought on the bench and a few others. Like, yeah, I'm not the only one that I was looking at before the game, before the team list when half the team was gone, was actually Dylan Walker. Because he's been playing quite well, and that injection off the bench is just it just keeps delivering.
Yeah, he's not a bad play, but and the other one is Andrew Davey. I think he's a guy that we plugged last week. He obviously didn't play because of COVID. So if he's still available out there, I think he's a great pickup. He's going to be playing 80 minutes for the foreseeable future at the Eagles. I mean, the whole Josh Schuster thing is an absolute joke. He is actually the third or fourth string left edge back rower at the Manly Seagulls. They kept dropping like flies before last round, and Schuster still didn't get a fucking go. He didn't get a go until Ben Trbojevic went down with concussion, and then they went, oh fuck, we're gonna have to play him here. So yeah, weird setup. So Andrew Davies, a massive pickup there. Obviously Nat Butcher, if he is still out there, he's a great pickup. Scored 54 with 15 minutes off the field with concussion protocols. So if you didn't have those 15 minutes off, you're thinking 60-65 points there. He is a workhorse.
Yeah, and he gets through a lot of work, but he's also a bit of a try scoring threat. Runs good lines, so definitely one to keep your eye on.
But other than that, mate, there's not much else to talk about. I think Paul Momorowski is a nice little plug and play.
I was just looking at him, thinking, yeah, for this round, I think he'd be lining up against Dylan Walker on the left side.
I actually don't care who he's running at. It's
I think Morgan Harper or Dylan Walker, both of them have their defensive frailties. So yeah.
Yep. And Seagulls, they're the weakest on their right. Obviously, Mommy is a left-edge player. So, and we'll talk about matchups in the next podcast. But, yeah, it's all over the Roosters' left attack here for the matchups. So, yeah, I do like Paul Momorowski as a plug-and-play. Just a one-week go here. Let's get into the next game. We've got the Warriors v Storm. Fuck, you'd be shaking in your boots if you're a Warriors fan, because when's the last time Storm lost five in a row? Has it ever happened?
I think it'd have to be in one of the first few years of the club's incarnation.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just not in their DNA. But mind you, the last four performances
haven't been great.
Yeah.
But I'm expecting a massive bounce back here up against the Warriors who, yeah, look, let's be honest, they've been below subpar for the majority of the season. As far as pickups for waiver claims go, I'm not seeing a lot here. Obviously, if Nick Meaney's available, he's a great get. But plenty of plug-and-play options for the Storm. Dean Iremia, Marion Seve, Grant Anderson, I think you can fire all those guys up. I think the guy that you want there, number one, is Dean Iremia. He'll be playing left wing, and it's the left edge for the Storm that's got the matchup, and Warriors have just been leaking tries to left wingers like nobody's business.
Yeah, he's a good finisher. He might not get you the base that you need, but I think there'll be enough attacking raids down that edge that, yeah, he'll get you a decent score.
Yeah, 100%. The other guy I want to talk about is Tui Kamakamika. So he's been quietly going about his business. And like we always say, with these front row forwards, all you want is 50 points, but just get him.
And it doesn't necessarily mean that they need to be starting, because the modern game, they're rotating enough that they're all getting enough, an equal share of the minutes typically, especially when you've got like the high impact players like Nas, and then Jesse Bromwich is obviously at the tail end of his career, so he isn't pulling the big minutes that he used to. So yeah, I think there is a lot to be had with Kamakamika.
Yeah, I mean, he's got, what's his five round average? It's like 46, got 56 in the weekend. I mean, in all honesty, you could pick him up free agent and plug him in there as a go.
Absolutely.
But other than that, mate, anyone on the Warriors? I will say that Edward Kosi might be a shout for an ATS, so you could do worse as a plug-and-play option here just because of the Storm and how many tries they actually concede against left wingers. It's pretty crazy. I think it's 27% of the total tries that they concede actually goes to left wingers. So he's not a bad plug-and-play there other than him. Josh Curran's a worry now. We don't know what the fuck's going on there. He didn't play the first half at all. He came on sort of 10 minutes into the second half, you know, got 28 points or something like that. So if you're an owner, you're freaking out there.
100%.
But I guess the one thing that you can say that's, you know, giving you some sort of confidence is the bench, because I don't see Murchie there at all. So, and that's who replaced him last week.
Yeah, I mean,
so he might be safe.
Ellie Katoa does play a fair bit through that edge spot, so that would be the main concern. But if I'm an owner, very, very concerned.
Yeah,
And he's on the no-fly list for anyone looking to fetch, because A, you don't know about his minutes, and B, the Warriors' run is quite terrible.
Yeah, exactly. No, I pulled a shifty last week. I traded Josh Curran and AFB for Nat Butcher, which on paper he won, but just so happened that Curran just stopped playing, which I was like, fucking hell. The timing on that trade, wow.
Yeah, because you wouldn't be able to pull that trade this week.
No way. Fucking way. All right, let's get in the next game. That's about enough out of that one. But yeah, Storm by plenty. Eels v Panthers. Now, we've obviously got a huge in here with Sean O'Sullivan and Jerome Luai out. He would be the number one waiver claim for round 20, in my opinion. Only available at halfback, so if you're struggling at that position or you're streaming your halfback, Sean O'Sullivan should be your number one go-to guy.
Yeah. I think one of the things to consider with it is the scores that he's had when he's obviously replaced Cleary while he's been injured or on Blues duty. He's been goal kicking, so he's obviously not going to be goal kicking with Cleary in the team. So there might be a little bit of a down lift from what his average is. I think it's about 62 or something. I think he offers a bit more than Luai does in certain areas of this game. especially the kicking game. So I'm really interested to see how the team actually rolls out, because we know that the Eels leak points, both in Supercoach and in NRL. So it's I'm excited for this game. This is going to be a good one.
And he's playing that left edge. Tungo, May, kick out, fuck. I mean, put me out there on that left edge and I'll get you some Supercoach points. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, I think the one thing that Luai does do in spades is he's got that great running game where he can really fleet a foot that I don't think O'Sullivan can match. But I think the passing game of O'Sullivan might bring a few points.
Passing,
sure.
Short kicking game, long kicking game, bombs. He's got it all, Sean O'Sullivan. He is your prototypical halfback general. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting, like you said, to have two players that are similar in the way that they play in Cleary and O'Sullivan.
I actually thought that Falls might get the run, but, teamless O'Sullivan got it.
Yep, he's the man. He's the fucking man, Sean O'Sullivan. They love him down there. On the other side of the ball, not much has changed here. It all looks pretty much the same, except the Cardi Party has made his way back onto the bench, but I don't think anyone really cares.
Top waiver claim. He's a top waiver claim.
Yeah. Remember last year where he was coming off the bench and he was like averaging 70?
Yeah, it was ridiculous. I thought it was the resurgence. But no, the Cardi Party it's been closed down by the cops and it's dead and buried.
It's done, baby. Yeah. All right, let's get to the next game. Titans v.
There probably is one that we can talk about. There's on the Panther side, Scott Sorensen. He's been playing out of his skin. If an injury comes to Martin or Kikau, and he gets a bit of game time, he's a great pickup as an ATS, because. Yeah, I feel like they will be a bit stretched at times.
Yep, not a bad play, a little stash. All right, let's get into Titans Raiders. So for the Titans team, we see Brimo keeping that fullback spot, JoJo Fifita still on the wing, Brian Kelly back in the centres, but it means Tanner Boyd is still going to play 6 on the left there for the Titans. We've got Jaden Campbell coming off the bench. Tanner Boyd has still played 80 minutes with Jaden Campbell on the bench, so if you've picked up Tanner Boyd and you're playing him, that's good for you. I can't even remember where Jaden Campbell come on and just run through the middle, or did he? Because Tanner Boyd got 80 minutes.
Yeah, Tanner Boyd got 80 minutes, so I think he was still playing through the half spot, and I think it was they were playing like a dual 5-8.
Yeah, okay.
With Brimo, and Campbell was playing sometimes a little bit. It looked like a bit of lock. When Aaron Clark was off the field.
You'd think they would just have Campbell in there at fullback and bring Brimo in into 5-8 like we thought.
I think they're just trying to get a few kilometres in his legs and stuff, because obviously he's coming back from that leg injury that he just needs to ease back into the team. I mean, they need wins, effectively. Yep.
But the big one here is Aaron Clark getting the 13 on his back, and hasn't he been a revelation coming off the bench playing through the middle?
He's so much better than a hooker. My God.
But not even just better, but like he's actually a fucking gun 13.
Yeah.
It's
because he does have a bit of guile and stuff, and he's got a really good running game. And strong tackler. It all ticks all the boxes. And to be honest, when they first picked him at the start of the season as hooker, we were all coming out and saying that, he's more of a lock.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
They finally come to the party.
Yeah, 3-round average of 64. Got another 70-plus game on the weekend. Can make a line break. Got an offload in him. Got plenty of tackle breaks in him. He's just a likely type. Not sure if he'll get any more minutes than he has been. I mean, he's been floating around that sort of, mid-50s to high-50s range. I think he still floats around there. But that's enough for him to average 60-65 the way that he's going.
Yeah, I think with the makeup of the bench, I think that's probably all you can hope for from him, but I think that's all he needs.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, he's just fucking busy floating. Mm. He's got a 1.4 PPM at the moment, and that's sexy as fuck.
Hard to maintain, though. It's pretty high work rate.
That's it. But if he stays around that sort of mid-50s range, he can.
Yeah, no, that's true.
That's about it for the Titans. On the other side of the ball, we've got Albert Hopwadi keeping that spot on the wing. But other than that, it looks pretty much the same. I do like Nick Kotrick as a plug and play this week on the left edge for the Raiders. We know that the left edge is the sore point for the Titans, where they're obviously pretty weak on their right edge defense, and left wingers just light it up against the Titans. So I don't mind him as a plug and play also.
Yeah. So Corey Haru-Naira goes back to the bench. He scored 2 tries, but only got like 70 odd points. Obviously reduced minutes, but big one for me is Corey Horsburgh is still not in the in the reserves even.
Your boy yeah, got punted. Boy.
I don't know whether he's got punted or he's still feeling the feeling the sickness. So yeah, we'll see what happens with that. But yeah, he's obviously no go.
Yeah, I like
Foxtead's on the reserves.
I like a lot of the Raiders back line here. Fire them up, Nick Kotrick, Tomoko, Chris Hopewadi, and then the guys on the Titans. Yeah. I think JoJo Fifita is actually waverable. He's been playing really well.
Passes the eye test, doesn't he?
Yeah, he looks good, looks really good. But also, you know, he hasn't been getting a lot of attacking stats, and he's still been, what's he been averaging? Got 57 on the weekend. He just looks good. Yeah, he just gets involved, has plenty of runs. He's got a 5-round average of 53. So, yeah, I'm liking what I'm seeing.
No, agreed. You know, I'm a big fan of Albert Hopewadi, and so he was playing all right last week. So, against a pretty weak defensive outfit, I think he'll go as pretty.
Oh, you would think so, mate. You would think so. I think the Raiders do a job on the Titans here. Yeah, they're just limping. Just getting Fifita. He did score a try on the weekend, JoJo Fifita, but he got 49 the weekend before, and yeah, he had no attacking stats in that game. So, yeah, I still like him. And obviously, we do like the Titans' strength of schedule coming to Supercoach Finals. It's going to be a nice little run for JoJo, especially once, you know, Jaden Campbell finally does move back into that fullback spot and AJ Brimson takes up his role there in the sixth on the left edge. That left edge should be scoring a lot of points, especially coming up against some poor, weak right edge defenses.
100%.
Righto, next game, Sharks v Rabbitohs, the game of the match. I actually don't know who to tip here, but as far as claims, you know, if Connor Tracy's available out there, you need to fucking get him. He should have been snapped up. Jed Cartwright's doing a job. He's just getting solid points there, but you know, you're not getting that high upside that you want in your CTWs. The guy that's really interesting here is Daniel Saluka Fifita. Now, his PPM from memory is something ridiculous, like 1.8, but that's because he's coming on playing 20 minutes. But he's got the pedigree here. He does pass the eye test, and he does look like if he could get 40, 45 minutes starting with that 10 on his back, he could turn that into 55 points.
Yeah, for sure. And look, the front row forward spot is pretty dire. And yeah, he's definitely going to do a job for a few weeks. Well, I'm surprised that he's got the run-on spot ahead of Burgess, to be fair.
Yeah, I think they just
must be taking the sting out of the game and then putting Burgess on for a bit of impact.
And he's playing well off the bench, big Turgis. So yeah, don't try and fix what's not broken. So yeah, I like it. And he's a big mobile body, Saluka Fifita. So it's going to be good to see how he runs out there with a bit of minutes under his belt. Other than that, everything's pretty much the same there for the Bunnies on the other side of the ball for the Sharks. Yep, all looking the same, except for Dalvin Finucane, obviously just got that suspension, so you would expect Cameron McInnes will come into the 13 there, and someone like Aiden Tolman. Crops up his
stocks for the next few weeks, doesn't it?
It does, big time.
McInnes, yeah.
Yep, big time. But yeah, anything else, bro?
If Connor Tracy's still available, obviously pick him up via waivers. Britt Nakora, he's started to show a little bit of form. He's got a 3-round average of 61, so definitely one to keep your eye on. He's owned by 62% of teams, so should be still available on some waivers.
Yeah, anyone out there that's playing well in a pale blue uniform, get them in your side, put them on your bench, because it's about to get very fucking sexy for the Cronulla Sharks players.
Absolutely. What are your thoughts on I didn't actually watch the game last week, but how did you find Jed Cartwright?
Yeah, just solid. Like I said, you know, he doesn't have that upside to him, but he's doing a defensive job. You know, he's getting the ball out when he needs to. Nothing special, but he's doing enough to keep that spot.
Yeah, fair enough.
Not great for Supercoach, but yeah, pretty safe there in the back line for the Bunnies. I don't see them changing it.
Sounds good.
All right, let's get into your boys, Broncos, up against the Tigers.
So unlucky for the Tigers last week.
All my multis had Cowboys in it, and I was fucking happy. It was a difference in, I'd say, over $1,000 for me.
I'll tell you what, it is like, for like a coat hanger or a spear tackle or something like that, a player will get 6 weeks. The ref has to get that. Seriously.
I don't know.
Heads have to roll. He's been sat down this week, but fuck, that's
as long as it gets me money, I'm all about it. If I was on the other end, it might be a different story, but I've got money in the pocket. Got a bit of folding money now, so I reckon good.
Bit of folding.
Just a really good call by the refs, in my opinion.
Oh, whatever.
Oh, what about your boy here, Dean Mariner? I don't know much about him, but he's coming in. He's going to play, obviously, that left centre spot, which has a really good statistical matchup this week against the Tigers. Do you know anything about him?
No. So I was actually as surprised as everyone else that he'd unseated Branko in that spot. Branko obviously hasn't done too much with the opportunities that he'd had. So maybe that's a bit of the reason for giving Dino a start. But yeah, I think Deloise Hoyte is one that he played out of his skin the last game, but he'll be playing on that right edge, and I think the matchup, like you said, is on that left edge. So Mariner and Oates definitely worth firing up.
Yeah, I do like Deloise as a pickup and play as well. Just because I think he's very likely, isn't he? He gets in, has plenty of runs, and then obviously playing on that right edge outside Katoni Staggs, you never know when that's going to come off and teams going to rush in and try and jam Staggs and just leave Deloise, which one of the best names in the game, there just with his dick in his hand, ready to score tries. So, yeah, the big ones here, Dean Mariner and Deloise Hoyte. Jordan Rickey, another guy that's interests me of the last sort of
36%
two games.
36% owned, like he's out there, guys. Like you need to be looking at him.
And he has a really good matchup.
We had a hard on for him at the start of the season. He hadn't performed until the last probably 5 weeks. He's got a 5-round average of 52, 3-round average of 55, scored a 65 on the weekend. He's starting to come into a bit of form.
100%. And obviously coming up against this left edge corridor of the Tigers, that's a really good matchup. He's a good chance at any to score a try up against this Tigers side. So I do like Ricky as a pickup. He's probably more of a waiver than a plug and play, to be honest. I'd like to pick him up and just put him on your bench and see how he goes. But definitely play him this week against the Tigers.
Yeah, no, I agree. Another one that's he's got a run on spot now is Flegler. He's probably worth a bit of a pickup.
He is.
I don't really think he's going to like break earth or anything like that. I think he might be getting you 55, but fuck, that's what you want at the moment with a front row forward.
Well, I've always said with Flegler, you know, if he gets you 50 minutes, he's going to get you 50 to 55 points, and it's going to be very consistent. So,
yeah. And he looked like a man on a mission last week.
Oh, he's a beast. He's an absolute beast. Got 56 in the weekend. Just looking at his minutes, and that was from 52 minutes. So there you go. Exactly.
50, get you 50. Yeah.
Yep. Perfect. That's what you want. Obviously, with the run on side now, he'll be able to prove a point and cement his spot in this Broncos team. So, yeah, good shout. I like him. Other than that, bro, anyone else you want to talk about in this game? The Tigers, I think they're going to be up against it. They got lucky, obviously, getting the Cowboys on a bit of a lull there. I will say the Broncos...
It was almost a full-strength Cowboys side, though. So, I think they just didn't turn up.
Yeah, that's it. All these good sides will go through a lull at some point before they hit the finals. Tigers just got them on that day.
Yeah.
But they do look fantastic with Dewey, Brooks, and Hastings and Laurie all there in that spine. And, of course, Fumua Brown as well, looking really good.
He's a try scorer, isn't he?
Yeah, he's very likely. I wish they'd give him more minutes because, yeah, he could be anything. But, yeah, Jackson Hastings. At 13, what a revelation that's been. That's his spot. Big body, gets his hands on the ball just as much as he would at halfback.
You're almost playing with a third half.
Yeah, exactly, 100%.
It just gives them more options in attack. And look, I think it started to unlock Laurie's potential that we haven't really seen too much this season. And, yeah, Massive, massive fan of the changes.
Laurie is a pretty low ownership as well. I think 40% off the top of my head. So if he's out there, he's worth a pickup. I like him. The other guy I want to talk about as a plug and play is Kelma Tulagi. So he will be playing, pretty sure, on the right edge for the Tigers now, and that's the matchup for the Broncos. The Broncos actually defend the right edge 2RF, the worst in the league. So really good plug and play there for Kelma.
Yeah, it's going to be difficult to defend against him. He's a really good runner of the ball.
And they use him, a lot, don't they?
Yep.
All right, let's get in the next game, Knights v. Dogs. So, obviously, Ponga out. We've got Tex Hoy at fullback. He's a fantastic pickup this week. Available at 5'8 and fullback. We love that. Other than that, we've got Brody Jones at 13. Obviously, Mitch Barnett is sliding into that edge back row position again with Lachlan Fitzgibbon out. But other than that, not many changes for the Knights. Anyone that strikes your fancy there other than Tex?
Nah, Tex is probably the one on I'd be looking at out of the whole team, to be fair. They're only just getting Brayley back into the swing of things. So if he's available, you might want to pick him up. But, yeah, I'm not really looking at the Knights, especially with Ponga going down. It's going to be a bit of a – bit of a season to forget for them.
Yep, I think so. Bulldogs, I think they get the job done here against the Knights, and there's plenty of plug-and-play options for the Dogs as well. Jake Avarillo, Jacob Carraz, Aaron Schopp has a really good statistical matchup this week against the Knights. They defend that right centre spot terribly. Even Kyle Flanagan, I'd fire him up this week. You've got Jackson Taupine playing edge back rower. He's also available at hooker as well. Yeah, plenty of options.
We've seen Taupine score some pretty amazing scores as well.
Yeah,
and seasons gone by, so he's definitely a plug and play option.
Big time. Yeah, plenty of options there. I do like the Aaron Schopp play there on the right edge, and Jacob Carraz. I think there's going to be plenty of points here for the Dogs. They looked on the weekend against the Titans, and I think the Knights are limping, and yeah, Dogs. This is Bulldogs territory this time of the season. This is where the Dogs just ruin everyone's multis, they ruin everyone's dreams, and they start taking scalps at the back end of the season. So it's Bulldogs time.
They almost have to change their name to the Indians.
Yep.
Because they literally scalp and scalping teams.
They do. So I'll be all over the Dogs in this one. Other than that, Tevita Pangai Jr. has been very disappointing of late. I mean, he got sub 20 points on the weekend. He's just not getting a lot of minutes.
Well, I think there is a bit of a story behind that. He had two HIAs in that game. He passed them both, but he was obviously off the field for an extended period of time. So, yeah, I feel like you could probably pick him up for a song if you're looking to fill your front row forward spot. But yeah, he's definitely one that I'd be looking to get rid of.
Yeah, he seems like he's on the outer a little bit there. Obviously, going with Jackson Taupine and Corey Waddell in the edge back row spots over Tevita Pangai Jr. So they obviously see him as a middle, but not good enough to start in the starting 13. So I don't expect a lot of minutes out of him, but we know what he can do when he's fired up. But yeah, look, geez, he's fallen out of favor for me. I gave him away on the weekend because I won a bet, and yeah, I'm happy that I don't have to worry about it anymore.
Good riddance.
Exactly. Right, let's get into last game of the round, Dragons-Cowboys. So like you alluded to earlier, a bit of a shake-up here at the Dragons with Moses Mbai playing fullback, and you've got Jack Bird playing center, which gives Billy Burns another go at edge back row. I like Billy Burns. He's a guy that can get you 50 to 60 points with the minutes that he's been getting there in that spot. Jaden Sewer also, last three games, has been playing 80. So two guys there that I don't mind firing up as waivers. Probably Jaden Sewer more for season long, Billy Burns just for this game. But yeah, I think the Cowboys will be fucking hungry for a win in this game.
They'll be there to turn it around for sure. Don't be surprised if Cotter comes into the interchange bench for maybe Tanoa Brown. I feel like they're going to be out for blood. And look, the Dragons just did enough against a very poor Manly side. So, yeah, I can't see the Cows dropping two games in a row.
Yeah, I agree. And other than that, there's not much to talk about here for waivers. So
interesting that Tyrell Sloan, they got him on the interchange bench, so there might be a bit of to-ing and fro-ing in that fullback spot. So Moses and Bye might, looking at their bench, they don't have a hooker on the bench, so McCulloch might get a spell, Bye might move through hooker and
might see big Moose McGuire hooker again.
Yeah, could do. probably not, but yeah.
They do that though. Didn't he play halfback one game?
He played halfback one game. Yep. He's played hooker.
That's the fucking Dragons for you. Weird. All right, let's get into the happy ending.
You want happy ending?
I got a booty.
Let me break it down for you so you understand. I'll hold your hand like a small child. Oh, fuck. Oh, my God. Fuck yeah.
Follow this up for you guys. So, at hooker, Aaron Clark, the clear number one hooking option here, sitting at about 30%. Yeah, I don't think we need to talk about anyone else.
There's not really any other options, to be honest.
No. Maybe Jackson Taupin, but yeah, Aaron Clark's a boy there.
Yeah, but that's like a plug and play for a week.
Yeah, fair.
Outside of that, there's really no one, because like maybe Verrills, but he needs a try to become above 50.
And to be honest, if you picked up Boothie last week, you're probably kicking yourself thinking, fuck, I picked up the wrong Titans hooker.
That would be me.
Ooh.
Yes. Yeah.
Bugger.
Because I have seen Booth pace and
he's great player.
Some raises and stuff. He's a fantastic player. He just didn't really back himself too much. He got that got the little toe poke at but he didn't really get much of a score.
No.
he only got in the 30s. So.
Yeah.
He is on the chopper block this week.
All right, so front row forward. We talked about Tom Flegler. Love him. Big Daniel Saluka Fifita. Another guy there. Tui Kamakamika at a pinch. Anyone else we didn't?
Blake Laurie. He pumped out another decent score over the weekend. Boy.
Yep. Got to give him a shout.
Look, he's still sitting around that 35% ownership. So, look, he should be in more teams. He obviously pumped out that horrible 30-odd score a week or two ago.
After we told everyone to get him. So that was bound to happen.
Yep. So now that he's got that out of his system, it's all smooth sailing for me.
That's it. But remember, guys, don't waiver for front row forwards. It's just the 2022 rule. Don't ever do it. All right, 2RFs, Jordan Rickey. I think he's worth a waiver. Probably the only this week that's worth a waiver. I think Jaden Sewer, Billy Burns, they're free agents. Kelma Tulagi is a free agent.
Davey might be worth.
Yep.
I'd like that. Probably if I get him, I wouldn't play him this week.
Because
I don't think there's going to be much on offer from an attacking point of view.
Yeah, I do like that. Yep. Yeah, let's put Davey in there. Andrew Davey and Jordan Rickey as the waiverable options at 2RF.
Yeah.
Love it. Halfback, obviously, Sean O'Sullivan. Get him in your side.
By the length of the straight. Yep.
He's lovely. Tanner Boyd, just give him a shout just because he's continuing to play 80 minutes. But, yeah, it's just one of those ticking time bombs where we know that Jaden Campbell's eventually going to take that fullback spot, which will leave Tanner Boyd peeling oranges. So,
I think for the halfback and fly, they, I think one to jump on at the moment is probably Jake Averillo.
Yep. I don't mind him.
Sitting at 40% ownership, so he's definitely waiverable.
Good matchup this week.
We've seen that, look, he needs a try to be relevant, but he's been scoring them.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, he needs needs tries for good Supercoach scores, but the fact of the matter is he just scores tries every week.
Exactly.
5'8", Tex Hoyes, one of the if it's not Sean O'Sullivan, I think Tex Hoyes, you're probably your second best waiverable option here. Available 5'8", and fullback. I like him. Really good matchup this week also because the Bulldogs defend the fullback spot second worst just off the top of my head, so I love that matchup there. CGWs, Jojo Fifita, we like him. Dean Mariner, Marion Sive with his matchup this week against the Warriors. Deloise Hoyter. Anyone else there that you like at CTW?
Probably not for the matchup, but like Blake's down at pretty poor ownership, so 28%. And look, he's been playing quite well.
And things do get better for the Eels in the Supercoach finals.
They do. Their run from the finals is actually quite good. So he's probably one that I'd look to stash. I probably wouldn't waiver for him. But if he's still there when the waiver's clear, he's definitely one to pick up.
Yeah,
maybe in the same vein as Brian Kelly. Brian Kelly's moved his way back into the team, 35% ownership, so should be available. Again, wouldn't waste a waiver claim on it, but he's definitely one that, look, if he's there come tomorrow morning, grab him.
Worth a free agent throw of the dice. I don't mind that. A fullback, fuck, the only bloke I could find that was low enough ownership was Dane Laurie at 40%.
Yeah, and look, it's... I mean, there's a couple of other options like DWZ and Tex, but man,
I like Tex, but obviously covered him at the 5'8". But yeah, other than that, yeah, there's nothing.
And then you've got like Albert Hopewadi, but mate, he's going to be gone by the time Rapana gets back. So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, I think Laurie's probably the pick out of those.
Yep, I like it. And then just the round out those top plug and plays for the Raiders: Nick Kotrick, Matty Tomoko, Albert Hopewadi. But I do like Nick Kotrick out of those guys, obviously playing left wing against the Titans. Aaron Schopp, Karaz, and Jake Avarillo. I think Jake Avarillo and Aaron Schopp are your picks there. Grant Anderson and Dean Aramea for the Storm up against the Warriors. We know how the Warriors defend wingers, but it's got to be that left edge with Dean Aramea, because I think the left edge for the Storm in this game have the matchup, and he could be in for double.
Do you think Aramea keeps the spot once Coates comes back? Because Coates will be back in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think he does, and the fact that Grant Anderson commands that right edge, and Coates will come back and Coates play right. Yeah, so I think that favors Dean Aramea to keep that spot in the left. What else do we have with Jordan Rickey, Dean Mariner, Kelma Tulagi, Tex Hoy, Paul Momorowski, all really good shouts this week. But we've settled on our top three. That's Dean Aramea, Kelma Tulagi, and Jake Avarillo. So hoping those guys go big for you. And then our waiver wire team of the week: at hooker, Aaron Clark, front row forward. Now, I was going to have Daniel Saluka-Fita, but do we go Flegler or do we just
I think waivers? I think Flegler.
Flegler
is waiverable, whereas Fita is a plug and play for the week. Because, look, I think how long is – we don't even know how long
Nichols
is out.
No.
So it could be a one-week play.
It is. It's a bit of a specky pick too with Daniel Saluka-Fita, just in case with 45 minutes under his belt, he's just an absolute wrecking ball. For a safe play, yeah, Tom Flegler is your boy there. 2RF, Jordan Rickey, halfback Sean O'Sullivan, 5'8", Tex Hoy, CTW, Jojo Fifita, and fullback Dane Laurie. Now, I will just hit us with some questions, and then we'll get out of here. There was a couple that were directed straight at the waiver wire gear, so let me get them up. So we had Jackson Topine, question mark.
Yeah, no, I'm a fan. He's got a good PPM when he does play, and look, it might only be for a few weeks, so it would just be a 1 week play.
Yep, I don't.
But they do have the matchup this week, so that's exactly another reason.
Exactly. Yeah, I like it. Should I waiver Campbell for Laurie, former Pappy owner here? So he's saying, do I get Jaden Campbell in and drop Dane Laurie?
I wouldn't do it, especially when Laurie's starting to get a bit of form.
Yeah, and Tigers' run actually isn't that bad in the Supercoach finals. I know that that the Tigers just aren't a great attacking team at the best of times. But, yeah, it is a bit of a sideways move, that one.
Yeah.
Sean O'Sullivan, a pickup this week, question mark. Huge. Would you rank him over guys like Fogarty, Sexton, or Mam?
Well, maybe not over Mam, would I do it over Fogarty? Fogarty's goal kicker. Probably not.
Yeah, Fogarty's got the strength of schedule. Mate, I'd have Sean O'Sullivan over Sexton and Mam, though.
I wouldn't have him over Mam, but definitely over Sexton. But
you're a one-eyed fucking Bronco supporter.
I'm not a one-eyed. He's averaging like 60, and he's been playing every week. He's safe as house. He's not hasn't got another player coming back over his head.
Oh, okay. I thought they had a pretty bad strength of schedule, that's all.
Bear with me for a sec. I'll just confirm the computer. Uno Momentos. So MEM is it's mid-range. And actually, Luai's strength, well, the strength of schedule for the left half for the Panthers is fourth worst, whereas MAMS is sitting seventh.
Okay, yeah, so it's not great.
So, it's, sideways.
Yeah. I just like the Panthers' left edge more than I like the Broncos' left edge.
I mean, that goes without saying.
Of course it does. That's why I'm saying it. So, but you still like MAM?
I still like MAM, yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. What else have we got here? I think that's pretty much it. The rest of the questions we'll probably answer in the matchups podcast. A few questions about dual eligibility, like will Clark get 2RF? Will Harris get front row forward? But I think we're done for...
I think it was round 6, 12 and 18. So if they haven't got the dual position now, they're not going to cut it.
Yep.
Maybe next season. Maybe.
Yep. Yeah, fuck, that's shitty ass for the Clark owners. But anyway, it is what it is. Best Luai replacement. So at 5'8", the only one that we really talked about was Tex Hoy. I couldn't find any other 5'8" sort of
guys. Well, I think you've got, like, you got your Tex Hoy, you've got your Sean O'Sullivan, you've got Averillo.
Well, Sullivan's only halfback. O'Sullivan's only halfback.
Is he?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I thought it was both.
I think he's only halfback.
He is only halfback. Okay, I'll say that back. But yeah, Tex Hoy and Averillo are your two guys that you probably be able to get.
Yep, you might have to just stream. You might just have to stream your 5'8" or take an AE, to be honest.
Yeah, and to be then that's what I'm looking at doing for the hooker spot, because there's bugger all out there, as we spoke about earlier.
It is, and it's a tough time to fucking cop injuries with 1 week until the Supercoach finals. I feel for those people. I really do.
Very, very tough.
All right, bro. That'll do for the waiver wire dribble. We'll get the fuck out of here. Get this one out so everyone can have a little listen, get their waivers in, and then lay their pretty little heads down for the night and wake up with a fucking gun team.
Oh, isn't that cute?
That would be lovely. That would be lovely. All right, mate. Let's get Eddie.
Peace.
Done. A rip. You can take me now. I have seen it all. Get that, India. Ta-da.